Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Comedy with Cameron, a job that's no laughing matter. I'm your host, Cameron Kern, a Pierce College student, on a journey to explore the vastly exciting world of comedy from professionals in the industry. On today's episode, I am joined by Matt O'Brien.
Cameron, good to see you again.
This is the first time
we've met. It's the first time we've ever met. Great to be here. I love your soundproof room.
I feel like we've known each other for a long time.
Got
a good relationship.
Yeah,
already.
We're very buttery with each other.
Definitely.
We're buttering each other up. For the listener, I'm not wearing a shirt.
Definitely, yeah. I'm in red pants today. So
that's true. That's when I came here. He said, look for the guy in the red pants, and I almost drove back home.
Yeah, he said,
I don't want to hang out with anybody wearing red pants today.
Let me tell you a little bit about Matt. Matt O'Brien has been featured on MTV, Variety, Comedy Network, CBC, Odd Squad on PBS, PBS.
PBS,
I got that right.
And also those,
Much
those
music.
Other Canadian credits that no one knows, but
yeah.
Say them anyway. It's a fun
and,
to
yeah,
hear.
We gotta show you off, man.
Sure.
And San Francisco Sketch Fest, he wrote and performed his own hour-long special on the Comedy Network in Canada.
Oh, boy.
And in 2017, he performed his third TV gala at the Just for Last Festival in Montreal.
Believe it. Believe it. You hear that, Dean?
He is the winner of Sirius XM's Radio's Top Comic and was recently nominated for
recently nominated for Breast Man at the Chicken Competition in Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Nominated for Best Breakout Artist at the Canadian Comedy Awards.
Boom.
And Best Comedian by COCA or COCO.
Damn.
Or Canadian Organization of Campus Activities.
Yes, sir.
His debut album, Live in a Basement in Front of 20 People, hit number one.
Damn right.
On the iTunes comedy charts.
Where? In Canada.
Canada.
Yes.
He also hosts and films his own YouTube late night talk show, which is genius, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll talk about that.
Genius.
Late night talk show on a subway that recently featured Scott Thompson of Kids in the Hall.
Damn friggin' right it did.
You could find out all this information on his website. I shamelessly just pulled his bio. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
He has a very good website.
I'd love to be the hype guy for my own bio. I love that the most. That was a real...
You should hire me. I could be your hype guy.
Yeah, if you just read my bio and I just go, deal with it. Yes.
Yeah. Matt O'Brien, welcome to the show, man.
Welcome to you. To your own campus. Beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate
Pierce
it.
College, home of the Brahmas. Go Goats.
It's not a goat,
or
man.
Bulls, or whatever it is.
Okay, so Matt, where are you from? You said Canada.
Yep, originally from a small farm town outside of London, Ontario, Canada. Small town, Canada.
Really?
Basically, where the stereotype of a Canadian was born.
Yeah.
The A's, absolutely. Like when you, oh my God. For the listener, Cameron just dropped his water, and it was a disaster.
This is off to a rocky start.
No, I grew up in small town Canada. Yeah, a lot of A's, a lot of hockey, a lot of lacrosse. None of those played by me.
How long did you live there? Because you don't have an accent now.
I desperately tried to un-accent myself.
Oh, yeah?
Because every time I'd come to the States, especially for comedy, people would be like, oh, a boat? Are you saying a boat? And I was, and I could not hear it. I was saying a boat, and like even like the O-U in about. Like it's like the way you guys say it is O-W. About,
yeah.
But up there, it's like more of an about and like little things. Like
the English language is so weird.
It's a disaster.
It really is.
Let's get rid of it.
So where did you go to any schools that involved theater or like tell us a little bit about your come up?
Well, Cameron, back in my day, I went to a private choir and orchestra school called St. Mary's Choir and Orchestra School in London, Ontario. I sang choir, I played the cello.
Oh.
And I played the stand-up bass. And
in
the Pied Piper Hamelin, I was the schoolmaster.
Wow.
And I think that's where my entertainment career began.
So you sang for choir? What'd you, like, were you a soprano?
I was...
I could see you hitting the high notes like that.
When I was in grade 5, before the testicles did their thing, I was definitely a high-pitched individual. But then the testes began to droop, and then the voice went down to alto, and then went down to tenor.
Yeah.
Then went down to bass eventually.
What a professional. You know all the words.
Buddy, all the lingo. I know all the lingo. I sang in many churches. We toured as a choir. We went to, like, New York.
Oh, okay.
I was at the base of the World Trade Center a year before that thing happened.
Oh.
which was really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to a little private school in theater, and then my high school was like an artsy-fartsy high school as well, so also choir up until like grade 11, grade 12. And then, yeah, I went to a journalism school, like your ding-dong self.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a weird change from choir. Did you want to, like, pursue choir as a career, or did you just do it as a
hobby? Who does? Choir is a career. Really, can you imagine? I'm a professional choirman. I do choir.
I'm a choirer.
Yeah, I'm a choir. I sing in churches. I thought it was fun. It's fun to be in a big group of people and singing your ding dong out. Not singing with your ding dong.
Don't sing with your ding dong. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was fun, and like my parents kind of shoved me into it. They're like, you can sing, you can do this, and but no, I had no idea. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't really play any sports. I ran track barely.
Yeah,
but like didn't even like. I'm just not a competitive individual, so I've never like really played sports or anything like that. Even in track, like I remember every track meet, it would be me and this really fat guy at the end of the race. Yeah. Like we just like barely running, like talking to each other and laughing.
See, that was me. I did track like 1 year in middle school, and I was that guy.
Yeah, just casual.
Yeah,
I wish there was a jogging club or something, or just a brisk walking
track
club.
Never made sense to me. I don't get the point of it.
Like, no,
let's just run.
Yeah,
like if you think about like, I'm not gonna get really into it, but like 10,000.
Get into it. We got
like
time.
10,000 BC, like people ran for their lives.
Yeah,
they did that because they had to.
Absolutely.
Why would they make a sport where they're like pretend you're getting chased by a mammoth or something?
I wish they would. If they would let. Like a tiger or some sort of wildcat.
It'd be much more interesting.
Much more interesting. If the thought that I might die. I wonder how I would. Do you ever think about how you would run if you're like, I'm going to die?
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be much faster.
You probably would. Your bowels would expend. Expend?
Expend.
That's probably. The first thing to go would be everything in your bowels. And then like you're running and it's shooting out of you. So, I mean, that would be the main difference.
It would, like, blast you off a little bit.
Yeah, it might give you a little boost, but I'd be curious to see how I'd run. I think I'd be weeping.
You never know. You seem like a fit guy.
Yeah, I'm okay. I lost weight now that I moved here to L.A. It's mostly mostly anxiety, but some running.
Oh, okay.
I do enjoy a run.
So now you're a stand-up comedian. Was there a moment early on that made you think you'd one day be a professional comedian? Did you have any, like...
I was like
enlightenment.
I've always been interested in it. Like since I was like probably 18, I'd write little notes, little stand-up notes. And I'm like, oh, maybe this would be funny on stage. I don't know. I was my main thought was like, I'll give it to somebody and maybe they'll do it.
Yeah.
And then when I was in journalism, I remember one of my professors was like, because we were doing broadcasts at the time, and he's like, if you want to be more comfortable in front of the camera, maybe take stand-up or try stand-up or do improv. And I was like, improv's for nerds. Every improv show I've ever been to, I'm like, I don't want to hang out with these people. and stand-up is one thing that you can just do by yourself, which I always loved. I was like, I'm a very independent person, so it's literally just you. And then I went to an amateur night at Yuck Yucks in Toronto, and then the first time, I was just like, oh, I want to do this. And then I just literally... didn't stop doing it every single night and now I've been doing it for almost 11 years.
Wow.
So
you started in Canada, right?
Oh yeah, Toronto.
So Canadians are stereotypically known to be like the nicest people in the whole entire universe.
Yes, we are.
Like,
I'm very sorry. Yes, thank you.
I thought you're nice. A pretty nice guy.
You're nice. You're very nice.
Oh, thanks.
The guy in the booth is very nice. Thank you,
Victor.
Very much.
Shout out
sorry.
To Victor,
sorry, man. Everybody.
Love you, Victor.
Sorry, I'm so nice. Sorry, bye. Hi, everyone's
okay,
very nice.
He's pointing at us like, what are we talking about? But in Canada, like, did you find that saying like raunchy jokes was hard, or how would you describe your?
I don't know what Americans think Canada's like, but it's like, yes, we are known to be polite, but it's not like we're like that polite. It's like, it's not.
I've never been to Canada.
Yeah, that's so funny that you would think that though. It's we're just regular, especially Toronto. Toronto is like New York.
Oh yeah.
So it's like what you think
the
would
six.
Happen in New York. The six man.
Are you
thank
a big
you, Drake.
Drake fan?
I used
six.
To be, and then I kind of lost. I don't know. I don't
he's
listen to rap
girly.
Anymore. I don't know, he's fine. I'm glad he got our city on the map.
He really did. He blew up Toronto.
But that's the number one question I get. They're like, "Do you know Drake?" I'm like, "Well, I actually know a guy that knows Drake." So that's what everyone in Toronto will say. They'll be like, "I know a guy that knows Drake."
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw Drake at the Eaton Center once, which is a big mall there. But raunchy joke, you can say whatever the hell you want. It's not, we're known to be polite, And I think it's true that we are polite, but not to the point where, like, our comedy clubs are literally us just throwing flower petals at each other. Like, it's still a comedy club. We're still regular people up there. We're just wearing scarves.
Wearing scarves. Very fashionable people.
Very fashionable, yeah.
How would you describe, like, your routine at that time? Like, was it just, jokes?
Stupid. The worst. When I first started, because I was 20, oh, God, how old was I? 21? And I was still in college, and I was still some stupid idiot college kid, much like you.
Oh, thanks.
Very dumb, very stupid, red pants.
Red pants.
and it was just like stories and stupid like poo jokes and stuff that me and my friend, because I lived in like a house with like five other dudes at the time.
Ooh.
And it was like very stupid fratty stuff and like, but that's how most people when they start out, it's like you don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And most of stand-up is figuring out who the hell you even are. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think I found out until like almost 8 years in. And then
really?
Even now I'm still figuring it out. It's like, so it's like just the first, somebody first starts, like people are usually really tough on them, I find. But it's like you got to be really, they're figuring it out, man.
Yeah.
And like even trying to figure out yourself in front of strangers, what a nightmare. I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? It's so stupid.
Was there any nights where you said it was like it was tough? Was it tough for you personally? And was there any nights that made you rethink like going into comedy? Because you said you just did it every night.
Comedy was the only thing, and it sounds weird and stupid saying this, the only thing where I'm like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And that's how I knew that this is the thing I'm going to do. Like I actually never had a second thought about it.
Really?
The second I started it, I was like, I'm literally going to never stop doing this. And that's how I knew. I was like, I'm just going to keep doing it because I love it this much. But I don't know. Sometimes you have those doubts, like especially since moving here, because it's like I had to start my whole career over again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one knows who the hell I am down here. So it's...
Well, now they will.
Now, after this gets on the old Wavos, they're going to know me. Because, my credits don't really transfer. All my credits are, like, Canadian.
Oh.
And, like, you come down here and you're trying to get into comedy clubs and you're like, oh, this guy's done Conan 3 times. Oh, that you have a Netflix special. And they're like, oh, well, I have a special in Canada. Does anybody want to book me? So it's definitely... moving down here is the first time where I'm like, oh my God, is everything going to be okay? But it's like the more people that you talk to down here, like I was talking to, of all people, Bobby Lee last night. I don't even know Bobby Lee.
I love Bobby Lee.
And he literally like.
He's nuts.
He's insane, but he's the best. And I was talking to him and he's like, I know how hard it is for Canadians down here. He's like, you're starting over again. He's like, nothing happened for me for 3 years. He was like, it was the most depressing 3 years of my life. And then stuff started happening. And I'm like, even for you. And I'm like, I hear that story from a lot of bigger comedians. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, man, the first like 4 years in L.A. was depressing. But then after that, it started to pick up. So I'm like, okay, so I'll just keep working. And then
just keep going on it.
And then get real depressed and then, get some weird piercings.
The more comedians I talk to, I find that it's kind of like working out. Like, you don't want to do it, but once you do it, you feel better. Do you think you have that feeling?
It's kind of true, yeah.
Like, you have to put yourself through that stress so you could grow.
Well, especially going to open mics, too. It's like if you have a couple days with no shows, you're like, oh, I'll go to an open mic. And then the open mic process here compared to Canada is much more brutal, where it's like you put your name in a bucket and you might get 3 minutes if your name gets pulled. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes, which is like one joke, maybe.
Yeah.
And then that's your whole night. Like I've done nights here where it's been like I've been at a show for 2 hours. Maybe sometimes my name doesn't even get pulled. Maybe it does, and I do 3 minutes. And you're just like, ugh. But then you do that 3 minutes, and you're like, at least I did it.
At least you did it,
like,
yeah.
You're like, especially when comedy is your career, you're like, if I'm not working, mm-hmm. what the hell am I even doing?
What would you say the pros and cons of being a comedian? Because that sounds like a big con. Is just that feeling of...
Pro, very fun. Con, no job security. Pro, you get to travel a lot. Con, people at dinner parties want you to tell jokes.
Yes.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Especially relatives, too. They'll be like, oh, I hear your son's a comedian. What?
They're like, prove it.
Yeah. And
prove
then you're it. Like, I just want to get drunk and be quiet.
Do you have any, like, reserved jokes that you could just throw at them, like, here?
I don't. I really? Honestly
what do, you
do
say,
not.
Then? What do you
it's,
say?
I say comes to a show. I say.
comes like, to a show.
Comes to a show sometimes. It's
the Canadian.
I don't. I literally say that, or like I'm at the point where I'm like, I have just for laughs clips, and I'm like, watch that. I don't like.
Yeah, you literally have to like pull out your phone.
Yeah, or I tell them to do it, and then I go outside while they watch a clip, and then I come back in, and they're like, yeah, that was okay. And then I don't. I honestly, I wish I had like a funky street joke that I had in my back pocket, but whenever somebody asks me for a joke, I'm just like. You know, goes, here's a ticket. I'm off the clock.
So I wanted to talk to you about your Subway talk show.
Sure.
Such a genius show.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. It kind of reminded me of like an Eric Andre-esque.
That's, yeah, the
Is
vibe.
That what you were going for?
Yeah, actually.
Tell the audience a little bit about your show.
It's literally, it's called Late Night Talk Show on a Subway, and it is exactly that.
Exactly what it is.
It's, I filmed it on the Toronto Subway system illegally. And did it for
Is
about
that illegal
4 years.
To do that?
Well, technically, I
it's
called...
It's like loitering, right?
Well, I called them to see if I could do it, because they're like, you're not supposed to film anything for commercial use. And I called them, and I was like, can I film a talk show? And they were like, what the hell are you talking about? And they were just like, just don't set up a tripod.
Oh.
So my buddy had a camera under a scarf, and he would film it. And I had some lav mics, and I just did that. And yeah, it was actually... I did it before I actually saw the Eric Andre show.
Oh, yeah?
And it was like a year before that, and then people are like, oh, it seems like this, and I'm like, oh my god, I was like,
oh, I'm not
this show's amazing.
I'm not the first one that. Came.
But I got so jealous of it. I was like, this is what I'm going for, and
mean.
This guy's already doing it, and he's famous. So I was like, well, I'll just keep doing mine and see what happens. And,
how long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it for about 4 years. It's on a little hiatus since I moved here. Uh-huh. I'm scoping out the LA subway system to see if I want to do it.
Yeah, we were talking
here.
About the subway.
Yeah, and
I don't think they'd care. I mean, it's LA.
I heard no one's down there, but the main problem is trying to get guests. Is like it's easy in Toronto because everyone takes the subway.
Right.
It's hard here because no one takes the subway. So I'd have to be like, okay, meet me at this station. You have to park here, pay for parking, and then get on, and then you got to ride back to your car. And like,
we're gonna go to Long Beach today.
Yeah. Whereas I'd have guests in Toronto, and they, you know, I'd interview them, do a stupid thing, and then they just get off at their stop. They're like, oh, thanks, and then that was it.
Oh.
And I also thought it was funny that they'd have to pay $325 to be on
to
my
be
show.
On your show.
Because I would not give them change.
On the show, you ask like very interesting and unexpected questions. So I surfed the web and I found a very interesting and unexpected question.
You're
you ready?
The best, Cameron. This show's great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I love what a
so,
lovely time.
I wanted to discuss with you. Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
I think it is if the part of the bun is disconnected.
Really?
The thing that makes it a hot dog is the fact that it's sliced and then opened, and then the hot dog rests in it.
Right.
So if the bun disconnects, you're now eating a wiener sandwich, I think. And then the toppings are just going everywhere. It's designed that way for the toppings.
Oh, okay.
I think so, I would say.
You're giving us, like, the whole
wouldn't
history.
Wouldn't you say as well, Cameron?
I think I would.
It's, I think that's what would make it. You ever eat a hot dog with a piece of bread, though, and you're like, I'm the most disgusting person on the planet. Like, it feels like...
Cause what do you mean by that?
Well, a hot dog alone, you're like...
Oh, just like a piece of Wonder Bread?
Yeah. You, like,
oh,
fold
awful.
It over the hot dog,
awful.
And you're like... And then you look at yourself, and you're sitting on the toilet, and you're wearing, like, a tank top, and you're like, what is my life?
That is... that's a good...
that's a guy...
That's like last resort.
Yeah.
You get the crusty ketchup.
Oh, God. Yeah, the crust. You get the crust from the thing, and
the
it shoots, and then it goes on it, and then you're like, what am I doing? I don't even... Like, it's bad enough you're eating a hot dog by yourself. It's worse if you have it folded into a stupid piece of bread.
Yeah, no.
Or even if like you're at like a barbecue and they're like, and then they're like, here, all we have is bread left, mm-hmm. and then you're the idiot eating it out of bread, and they're like,
so
who's this guy?
So you say it's the bun that makes the hot dog.
It's the bun that makes the.
So
dog.
What if you put like turkey in the bun? Like, would it be a hot dog turkey mixture?
Like
ham? Just like
good,
lunch
just
meat?
Just like rolled ham?
Just yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
What would it be then?
Oh, God, man, that's a great question.
This is
deep.
This is deep.
This is, yeah, I would almost call it a ham dog because if you roll a ham dog or a turkey, you know, oh, man. Because if you look at a lobster roll, maybe it would be a roll.
Yeah.
Because that's in like a hot dog bun. This is getting, for the listener, I have several nosebleeds and it's going
like
everywhere. 11. Oh, my God. I would then call it a roll, Cameron.
Yeah. I used to create this thing when we would run out of hot dog buns. Me and my brother called it a hot durger, where it would be a hamburger bun, and we would chop up hot dogs and put it in the hamburger and have like a hamburger hot dog.
That's good.
Genius, right?
Yes. I think we have that in Canada. I think it's called a whistle dog.
No way.
I think it's called, yeah, I think that's at A&W. Do you have A&Ws down here?
We might. I don't know. Oh, nobody goes there, though.
Everyone goes there.
That's
the
root beer.
Root beer.
I love root beer.
Root beer is my favorite.
It's the best.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so as a fellow interviewer, how do you choose these questions? Do you base it off of like your comedic like routine, or is it just you just want to get like something like this where we have a good conversation?
It's basically an improv exercise. It's basically the first thing that comes to my head.
Are you kidding? So you
literally
just make up?
I just make them all up. I put them on cards, but as I'm writing them, I'll just randomly
I should have wrote down some of the questions you asked. Do you remember like a question that you ask?
Oh, like one that gets repeated is, how hard do you Christmas? That's what a lot of people, and I forget what the answer to that was, but I think it was pretty hard.
I Christmas
very
hard. Yeah,
like if you want a Christmas very hard. Or like, why don't they call feet bottom hands? Or like, is a stool just a high heel for your butt?
See, like stuff you gotta like check that. This show out. Where can they see this? It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Late Night Talk Show on a Subway. It's on my YouTube channel. Which, by the way, I got the URL is youtube.com/Matt O'Brien. All one word. It's just
go
all
check
my
it out.
Stupid name. So I don't know who died and gave me that. Yeah. But
so you're very active on Twitter, posting you know, little tidbits about your life.
A little bitty tids.
How has your comedy changed with the creation of social media?
Twitter's like, I'm not like a one-liner comedian, but Twitter makes you kind of a one-liner thing. Like, it gives you short jokes, the ability to write short jokes, except for now that it's 280.
I saw this thing. I was just surfing through your Twitter just to get a little, like,
who
you are on the internet. And I saw this thing about Velcro. You said, like, Velcro, something about Velcro wallets.
If you say, what did I say? Something, if you say, what did I say? But Velcro actually like responded to it.
Yeah, it responded.
Velcro, the company.
They said, hey, don't mess around.
Beg to differ. Yeah, they said, they commented on it. And I'm like, I hate the internet. Like, it's
I was going to guess that. You're very open about how stupid the internet is.
Because the internet's so stupid. It's like, you're saying something and then Velcro, the company, is contacting you?
Yeah, like, what type of day and age do we
live
in?
So dumb.
You can't say anything.
It's a waste of resources. But anyway, it's a fun time. Follow me on Twitter for a fun time. I talk to Velcro a lot.
So, Victor, turn the lights on, so we have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, my God.
I want to ask you some, like, very deep questions.
Get deep. Let's dig.
So, do you have any advice to someone in college who doesn't really know what they want to do and is interested in pursuing comedy as a career?
Oh, God. Go to a bunch of shows and see how it feels. Go to an open mic. Try comedy. Try it.
Just try it.
Just get, do
what
it.
What should they be ready for when they go in?
A lot of disappointment. it's pretty wild. It's like you. Well, first of all, when I first did it, I was excited. I mean, I was like, this is it. I'm going to do a few sets and then I'm going to be famous.
Right.
But you don't realize how much friggin' work it is, but it has to start somewhere. So literally just go to an open mic, sign up, try a couple of jokes, and then a couple comics always say this. They say, do it for a year, and if you don't like it, stop.
Right.
But if you do, if there's an inkling of you liking it, keep doing it, because it is so much work. Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's worth it? It's worth it, right?
It's 100% worth it. If it works out, it's my life. It's my whole life right now.
Yeah, I would be like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, no, don't do it.
Thanks for
it
coming
sucks.
On, Matt. Loser.
No, it's the most fun. I wake up every day, and I'm like, I'm like, I can't believe this is a job.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I feel guilty. I feel so guilty that I donate blood regularly. I feel like I need to give back in some. Like, I'll donate to charities because I'm like, every time I get a check for like a stand-up thing or like an acting thing, I'm like, this doesn't feel. It's because I had so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this. I made money doing this.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it's crazy. But
that's very deep.
It's very deep, very fun, very nice. Try it or don't.
Well, I feel like me and Matt had a moment. I hope you had a moment listening at home.
I'm having several moments right now.
Several?
Yeah. Ooh, I just momented. And another moment.
And I momented in, have you seen Lonely Island? Okay, we'll get Well, it seems like that's all the time we have. Hope you enjoyed another episode of Comedy with Cameron. Job that's no laughing matter. I'd like to thank Matt O'Brien for joining me today.
Lovely.
For such a great interview, the least I can do is give you some plug time. So you have about a minute or two. Please feel free to let people know. I should have prepared you. And like,
oh, my God. This week I'm going to be in New Orleans at Hell Yes Fest. Come see me at Yuck Yucks Toronto in December and also Yuck Yucks Vaughn in December. And then also I'm going to be at San Francisco Sketch Fest in January. And check out my website, MattO'BrienComedy.com.
It's very professional.
For tour dates. Tour dates?
Tour dates.
Tour dates, man.
The breast tour dates.
The breast tour dates in the industry. Coming at ya every day. That's like a combination of seven accents.
It really is.
Come like see me do seven accents.
He's the seven-accented man.
I'm the seven-accented man.
But yeah, follow him on Twitter.
Thank you.
Twitter handle?
At Matt_O'Brien.
You're on the Instagram, all the social media platforms.
Just look up Matt O'Brien, comedian, and it's going to be me and the head writer from Conan that show up.
Yep.
Because he has the same name as
me. Same name. So if you like O'Brien's,
yeah,
go check out Matt O'Brien.
There's two good ones out there. One stinker. Try to find him.
Thank you guys so much. I'm Cameron Kern with KBCRadio.com.